production.
Welcome once again to Taking On Sports, everybody. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how are you doing this week?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. All right, folks, let's kick it off where we usually do with college football, and particularly our Alabama Crimson Tide pulled it out in Oxford down to the last play again. But the defense stepped up, made a play at the end, held on to the game. Greg, what you think about it?
That they did. It's another week. What is that? Our fifth last comes down to the last play pretty much of the season there. So, I mean, it's been got to check your heart rate after the game every week there. But, you know, this time able to hold on there. You know, for what it was, yeah, I guess you couldn't ask for too much more as far as like the effort. I mean, it was there. They played with a lot of heart there, and you know, got the job done in a tough environment, coming off a tough loss. So
yeah, you can't ask for more. W's a W. You know, doesn't mean much as far as the expectations we're used to,
right?
In Alabama, right. But hey, you don't want to lose back to back games. You want to keep a New Year's Six bowl on the table, you know, still,
right?
And it's good to see the defense play. They played with some fire. They definitely got burnt a lot.
They did.
You know, Ole Miss did not have a problem going up and down the field, but they held steady in the red zone a couple times, particularly like we said on that last drive. So,
yes,
that's always good.
Amazing catch by Justin Jefferson. If you haven't quite caught
just
it
now in that in that Vikings game. Yeah, I saw that.
Wow. I mean. I would say the only thing that frustrated me yesterday so much, just the fact of the Bill again. I mean, we were running the ball, get to the red zone, and three straight passing plays. Come out the next drive, three more passing plays, six straight passing plays after when we're successfully running the ball. I mean, they're, you know, getting it up the gut, McClellan running the ball, and I just don't understand it. It looks like we're getting a smash mouth Bama football. The line was doing what we expect our lines to do, and you know, really was enjoying it. And then we got down to the five and like pass. Like, my goodness.
I said the same thing yesterday. I just don't. Jace McClellan, you know, stepped up. Jameer Gibbs apparently hurt. They had a taped up ankle. Saw him limping off the field.
Yeah,
after the game.
That at the end because you know during the game they're like. I guess the sideline lady had said, you know, that they had, she had asked about him and they said, oh, he's all right, but obviously not. I mean, that was a go-to guy all year and then the most clutch of moments and was nowhere in the second half for the most part. So,
I must have missed that report or what, I'm not sure, because I was for sure questioning where the hell he was.
Yeah.
What did he do to piss off O'Brien?
Yeah, but. She came on and said, you know, she asked, and, they said he was healthy, but then at the end of the game, when he was leaving the field, it looked like he was limping a little bit there. So I don't know how much that factored into it. You know, even if he wasn't 100%, we weren't necessarily going to run him. Just have him out there, just to, I don't know, throw him off a little bit, keep him honest, maybe. But I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe Saban said in his press after the game, he just had a little twisted ankle, so hopefully it's nothing too severe.
Yeah.
Probably could get a good rest next week.
Right.
Yeah, come back for the Iron Bowl.
And then we'll see.
But yeah, like I said, overall, got the W, held, you know, that Ole Miss offense down relatively. They drew, like I said, they pretty easily drove up and down the field a few times. Made the plays when it mattered, and there appeared to be a little fire to the
– Right. Yeah. You know, I really liked what Byron Young's done over the last couple of weeks. I mean, he got a couple of big-time sacks last week, got some big-time sacks yesterday. Not really highly touted guy as far as the hype, and he's really stepped up the last couple of weeks there as our main defensive lineman that's really showed up.
Yeah, he is. He really had a great game yesterday. Just could not be contained, breaking through a lot of tackles for loss, a couple sacks. Yeah,
I was impressed.
Yeah, they did a really good job containing Jackson Dart's running.
Right, yeah. I was impressed. You know, with the start of that game and they went for it on fourth. We held them there. And, still some mistakes. But, it wasn't, yesterday, couldn't be mad at them because it wasn't from lack of effort. You saw the effort there. And that's, sometimes that's, you're going to lose some battles. But the effort was there that I didn't think was there in some other games. And I liked it. So,
yeah, as I'm saying, our one complaint, of course, Bill O'Brien, that weird play calling, and then but we got down there, we won. Even I think we got a takeaway yesterday. I got that fumble,
all right.
Could have had a pick. That was a sequence that worried me. We had that drop pick, and then we got the ball in the punt, and then JoJo fumbled. And we got a big pass interference penalty, and Ole Miss got down there and scored. And I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
But we pulled it out. So, good win on the road. Yeah. Avoid first time back-to-back regular season losses since Saban's first season.
And, it would have been a lot to go along with that just because, we're already here and we're, dead as far as the dynasty's over. It's George does everything now. And, he's already lost, some of his – pass assistance, and the added that one to it, I think would have really, been a tough off season. So, just for the morale of the team, I think it was good.
Yeah, for sure. That should they'll get a good practice week next week against Austin Peay. Then we got the Iron Bowl. Yeah,
get a lot of young people in there next week.
And speaking of the Iron Bowl, Auburn got Cadillac his first win as a coach, beating Jimbo Fisher. A&M's sixth loss in a row now.
Yikes.
Close in the Minnesota game.
He's right there.
What was that? Is that fourth down?
No, I don't. That's third down.
Okay.
I think he's a little short there. But
I was about to say, they're going to overturn that one. He definitely was not in there. But, Auburn was not a pretty game by any means. Very low scoring. A&M under 30 once again. I forget the status all, but it's a lot of straight games. It's the longest streak, I think, under 30, scoring under 30 by a Power 5 team in a long time.
Man.
And, for alleged offensive genius, Jimbo Fisher. Elsewhere, LSU survived in Fayetteville. Thanks to that freshman Perkins.
My goodness.
Lit us up last week and just dominated the Arkansas offensive line. But he was a one-man record for that defense.
He won the game himself pretty much. It was ridiculous.
And he made two plays, two strip sacks. One was ruled incomplete pass. That last one was clearly a fumble that just got pushed forward. And, let's see, Minnesota, fourth and goal. That was offside right there, was it not?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and Dalvin Cook drops it. They're going to get another shot. That was definitely Buffalo jumped the snap there.
Yeah.
A little live. Play by play that you listen to this Monday sometime.
Offside.
But,
one more time. Yeah.
He's just a beast. I think it was McElroy doing the broadcast, he made a great point. He said, and this guy's just doing it on pure talent and athleticism right now. Once he actually learns what he's supposed to do in his position, he's going to be a scary, scary player.
My goodness, yeah.
So LSU with that win and the Alabama win in Oxford clinched the SEC West. They will play Georgia in Atlanta, who clinched the SEC East with a pretty comfortable win in Starkville over Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Oh, back to our live play-by-play. Oh, they go for the sneak and the bush push.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, we got it on that second effort.
Ooh, Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I don't think the ref's going to give it to him.
Wow, they got to review that, right? Oh, geez.
Yeah, they have to under 2 minutes, but they look like he got that second effort.
Wow, that's a home cooking right there.
I say, come on now, I need that Vikings plus +3.
I got it to 6.5, so I'm all right.
Oh, you're good.
When it was 10, I was like, when it was set, when they were down, they were down big early, I was like, oh, shit.
I see, yeah, he's on the backs of players right there.
I don't think there's any way.
Not from that angle they're showing you, that over-the-top angle. But that one down there, no, we need the other angle. This ain't going to show you shit. It's the wrong side.
I don't.
Right? He went to the left side of the line, didn't he?
That's a horrible angle. By this camera, we're not going to get the overturned at all.
No, that's, yeah, there's all we see is asses. This one might show us. Yeah, he's not down. He's still on top of.
And then you can't see his knee. Looks like that ball. You
can't see where the ball is right there on this one.
Ooh, that's a little short. Yeah. Oh. It might be right. He's to the goal line. I don't think he'll cross the plane.
That's tough. Wow. Minnesota might be losing this one by literally an inch.
Wow.
Back to SEC football. Elsewhere, like we said, Uga rolled in Starkville.
Yeah, that was pretty much over, you know, when Miss State got that interception and do anything with it. I said, well, that was it.
Yeah. You got to capitalize. Yeah, it looked early. It looked like State could have had a chance to keep it close, and then they got it within, what, 31-19, and then just couldn't.
No.
Couldn't close the gap. Let's see. So, like we said, Georgia and LSU in Atlanta is official. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, Tennessee beat the hell out of Missouri, keeping their college football playoff at large hopes alive. Right. Vanderbilt upset Kentucky.
That's great.
Not a good loss. Or, yeah, not a good day.
Definitely basketball season in Lexington now.
Basketball school after all. Next week, of course, mostly it's that cupcake week in SEC, but Georgia does travel to Lexington. Tennessee travels to Columbia, South Carolina, and Ole Miss plays Arkansas, kind of a consolation there.
You know, big win last night for Florida. You know,
big win over South Carolina.
And it's bowl eligible, six win on the season.
Indeed, so. They did indeed rule. He was short of the goal line. Big hold.
Big win
by the Bills defense.
Wow. Tough.
Of course, now it's still a safety possibility here for Minnesota.
Yeah.
In fact, if I were the Bills, I would totally do that. You know,
it's
a smart thing to do. So that's about it for SEC. Nothing big. Unless, Greg, you think there's any chance that Kentucky or South Carolina pulls an upset next week?
After what I saw last night, no. did they get the safety? Yeah. Did they get the, wow, what? Did he fumble? What?
Oh, you must be ahead of me or watching the game. I'm on the red zone here.
Oh, yeah, it's local here because Minnesota, it's pretty close to, oh, my goodness, yeah. Watch this.
Oh, go back. I'm watching the Texans kick a meaningless field goal. Well, maybe not meaningless.
They do. Wow, I'll let you see it. I'm sure I'll go right back to it. My goodness.
Yeah, let's see here.
This is wild. Super wild.
Live, all right. Still watching him kick a field goal here. Yep, he got it. That's good for him.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, here we go.
This is the wildest stuff ever. Gotta look.
Oh, he dropped the snap.
Yeah.
Gotta recovered.
Yeah.
Either way, that's a Minnesota cover, but did they get the touchdown? Holy hell.
I'll leave it up to you. Let's see it.
Oh, man, folks, as we're watching this, like we said, Buffalo got the stop on the 1-inch line. They went for the smart play, quarterback sneak, just to get out of the end zone there, and it looks like Josh Allen fumbled the snap. Minnesota has fallen on it. That's a ruling right now. We'll see if they review.
I'm sure they have to, but I was
looking at it. It gives Minnesota a 29-27 lead with 37 seconds left.
That's wild. Craziness.
That is amazing.
You know what it reminds me of? Almost like, what was that, in 98 when Tennessee played
Clint Sterner.
Clint Sterner, all he had to do was kneel the ball.
All he had to do was kneel it. They were going for a handoff or something, right? And he just turned around, tripped, just dropped the ball.
That's somewhat similar to this. Just the most ridiculous thing ever.
That's amazing. That is rare mistake from Josh Allen like that.
Like, you know, that, my goodness.
One of the best, sneaking quarterbacks in the league, if not the best.
Well, obviously, maybe that safety looks good after all.
Right? Oh, that's amazing.
Wow.
All right, back to the college stuff. We'll go to the Big 12. We'll keep it with another purple team. TCU went to Austin last night.
Wow.
Kept their unbeaten season and college football playoff hopes alive. Close win. Not the shootout that everyone thought we were going to get. A low-scoring affair.
Yeah, for sure. I think
defense has stepped up.
Yeah, really did. Especially, really haven't seen TCU's defense step up. Well, at clutch times, but throughout the game, they've given up a lot of yards and points this season. And they shut down Bijan Robinson all day there, and that was impressive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did great. Great job shutting him down.
Just to go on.
They clinched themselves a berth in the Big 12 title game. Great. Do you think they can finish the job? They have Baylor next week.
And then Baylor at home. Baylor and Waco. Iowa State at home. And then I'm assuming right now a rematch with – it looks like K-State is right now. But
K-State is in second place right now. They just need, I think, just one win in their next two games to clinch their berth.
And, it's just hard to beat a team twice. But
it is.
But the good thing I think that will really help TCU is if they go into that game undefeated, if it's a Jerry World like it has been, they should have quite the crowd there.
Yeah, I would think a lot of purple in that stands for that. But again, I pose the question, do you think they can finish a job and make the playoff?
I think so. I mean, there was a lot of people that thought it was going to end last night. And, to go in there, into Austin, hostile night environment, game day there. They look good. I mean, they won in a different fashion. Usually they win high scoring affairs and they changed their style. And I like it. I think they run the table. I think they're going to get into the playoff. Probably that fourth spot, but I think they get in.
Well, yeah, I'm rooting for it. It's always nice to see some new blood. And in a year where we're not going to make it, why not root for complete chaos?
Yeah, exactly. But we still got a lot of interesting things going up as far as matchups coming up, and a lot of things can happen.
Indeed. Let's see. Elsewhere, Big 12, K-State, aforementioned, second-place team. They did blow out Baylor yesterday.
Yeah.
West Virginia got their first ever Big 12 win over Oklahoma. Oklahoma State rebounded, beat Iowa State, and Texas Tech beat Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Like we mentioned, nothing too big next week. TCU has to go to Waco, which can always be tricky.
Tricky.
But they're the better team. Yeah. They should win.
I saw the line already came out, and they're a 2-point favorite. Oh, what that's
just
worth.
Two, but... yeah, see? Still not a lot of love and respect for TCU. No,
I think that's good because, it gives you a little motivation to keep showing folks.
Sonny Dykes. Can use that bulletin board material. And then the other game of note next week is the Bedlam game in Norman this year. Doesn't mean much as far as the Big 12 goes. Maybe just a little bit better bowl. But
I think it means a lot for OU there. I mean, as tough as that season's been, at least be able to win Bedlam would really give them something as far as that. As disappointing as the season has been, to one of the last Bedlams to win, I think they need it badly.
That's true. Yeah, could be one of the final Bedlams for at least a good while until all the conferences just meld into one or
super
whatever. Or my prediction, whenever they do break off and just kind of form some big like 60-80 team super conference, they just go back to geographical alignments anyway.
Yeah.
But we'll move from the Big 12 to the Pac-12. The next big thing, Oregon's great season. Their playoff hopes are done now as they went down at home to Washington in a thriller.
That was a fun one to watch there.
It was really fun. I got to watch the finish of it in the last quarter or so, and the highlighters could not pull it out. UW, good win for them on the road. Doesn't quite eliminate the Pac-12 from the playoff contention. Mm. Oh, Russell Wilson's just.
It does as far as, if USC were to win out and win the Pac-12 championship, I guess that keeps them in somewhat contention because one loss USC, the name carries weight. So, yeah, that's their hope right now.
Yeah, and the other hit to the Pac-12 chances. UCLA lost at home again to Arizona. Not
bad
a good loss. In Tucson's one thing, but at home.
At home.
Yeah. That just, I may have mentioned it earlier this year when we were talking about UCLA, but I saw some article somewhere. I forget who. I don't know if it was like a local LA writer or what, mm-hmm. but someone suggested that UCLA needs to, I mean, obviously the big knock on them is they don't invest a lot into their athletics, particularly football.
All right.
But not only do they need to obviously update facilities, but they need to build an on-campus stadium. Because as great as it is to call the Rose Bowl home, they just don't pack it out, and it's not really a great home field advantage for them. You know?
Yeah, they need about a 40 to 50,000 stadium so they can...
Yeah, exactly. Something small in there. Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, smaller, maybe like 35 to 45. Yeah. Like that, but probably 50 max, like you said.
Right. I mean, like what Mississippi State has, or mm-hmm. Arkansas, SMU on campus, not too big, but you know, when they can get rocking, but yeah, it's not going to be super. Yeah, that's, you're not going to get 100,000 Bruin fans since it's just what it is. No. Like.
And you heard, you know, it's not far from Westwood to Pasadena, but it's not, nothing in LA is easy. So if you're a student, especially if you don't have a car or something, it's just not. It's not worth it to make that drive up there to Pasadena to watch a team that, you know, you never know when it's going to lose. Right. But if you got an on-campus stadium, you can walk or take, you know, a bus or something too.
Right. Makes it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. But so they ends their chances. It might hurt USC's a little too, because now that win wouldn't mean as much to them. Right. But
yeah, that did that.
The other contender now, maybe popping back into it, should things break right in front of them, Utah rolled over Stanford. They have their big game in Eugene next week. Obviously not as big now, but still means something as far as the Pac-12 title is concerned.
That it
does. And then we got the USC-UCLA game that's in the Rose Bowl as well. So the Pac-12 is probably rooting for USC and Utah to get a rematch of their great game they played earlier this year.
You would have to. Yeah, you would think so. But, you know, Oregon's still right there. Though they have two losses on the season, still that one loss in conference. Utah are going to Eugene this week, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'll see if Oregon loses back-to-back home games or they bounce back. That's about it for the Pac-12. We'll move across the country to the ACC. Nothing really huge. Clemson rebounded. They had a win over Louisville.
Yep.
North Carolina won a fun one against Wake Forest. Florida State rolled. Over, who were they playing? Syracuse?
Yeah, rolled Syracuse in the dome.
Big win. Maybe the biggest news in the ACC, Miami scored 35 whole points.
35. Beat Georgia Tech. Big.
Yeah. I believe it's now settled. It'll be Clemson and North Carolina in the field goal. Oh, overtime in Buffalo. Uh-oh.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
They couldn't stop for 30 seconds. Jeez.
But yeah, so it is official now. Clemson will play North Carolina and Charlotte. Probably no chance for ACC champ to make the playoff, barring a lot of losses. Although North Carolina's, they're not getting respect, but they still just have the one loss on the year.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame, technically the ACC champ, beat both of them.
Might as well just move to the conference already, right?
Right, just come on, guys.
But so next week, nothing really big. Those two aforementioned participants, North Carolina will host Georgia Tech, Clemson host Miami. That's about it. And then we'll move to the Big Ten. Ho-hum, as usual, Ohio State and Michigan rolled.
Yep.
Purdue went into Illinois, upset them.
Now
lead the West, that just messiest division in college football.
Everybody's like 5-4. Or
Literally everybody, except Northwestern.
Yeah. Outside of Northwestern and Nebraska, trash. Everybody else is like 5-4.
Yeah. So kind of other than, you know, a couple games, just kind of an uneventful week in the college game.
Yeah.
Aside from that Oregon upset and, you know, Alabama over Ole Miss, just, and TCU kept going. Next week, Ohio State, they travel to College Park to play Maryland. Illinois visits Michigan, but it's all about the week after in that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to our power rankings. Greg, kick us off. Who do you have at number 10?
Number 10, I actually had a tie this week. I went back and forth thinking about it, but wanted to show both teams some love. I have North Carolina at the 10th spot as well as Washington at the 10th spot. North Carolina, I like this time. They're a fun team to watch. They put up points. Like Drake May, hopefully gets invited to New York. And this is just what Washington did. I mean, I don't think a lot of people expected them to go into Eugene and, get the win, spoil the Oregon party. And, they just held tough all game there. So, I couldn't leave them out. I had to show them a little love there.
I also have the Tar Heels in the number 10 spot. Like I said, they're not getting a lot of love from the playoff committee, but maybe, who knows, they need a lot to go right for them to even really get close. But
that's what it would have been way more fun if Clemson had run the table and, the one loss Carolina and the undefeated Clemson, if Carolina won, I think that would really have given some, maybe a little bit more, probably still not there, but, a little consideration maybe.
Sure. Number 9 is where I had the aforementioned Clemson Tigers, just kind of by default really moving them up.
Right.
How about you?
Same thing. Bounce back after that tough loss in South Bend and, handled Louisville. A little easier than what I thought it might be. I wasn't sure what their mentality was going to be, and Louisville's been playing some decent football recently. So, it was actually a little better win than what we had. Little bigger win than maybe initially, what we thought. Yeah.
Yeah, initially anticipated. Yeah. Let's see. Number 8, I had Alabama jumping back into my top 10 again, just kind of default.
All right.
Teams in front of them dropping, beat Ole Miss. Like we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. like the defensive effort. Nothing really big to play for left for the Tide, but still want to get right.
Exactly.
But you,
same thing. Us at 8 there, and bounced back, and got the tough road win, and still in line for a 10 win season and possible New Year's 6 games. So, yep.
There you go. All right. How about your number 7?
7. I have the Trojans of USC. Blew out Colorado Friday night, and as expected, the last hope for the, the Pac-12 for the playoff consideration there. So we'll see. Playing UCLA, that's this weekend, so we'll see how that one goes there. But
I had the same thing, the Trojans of the Men of Troy at number 7. Yeah, you said it all right there. Number 6, I have LSU. Like we said, they squeaked one out at Arkansas, but you need to do that. They locked up the SEC West. Maybe an outside shot of making the playoff, but we'll see. Again, some things might have to bounce right for them in front of them, but you never know. Crazier things have happened. Okay, yeah. But you're number 6.
We're right in step so same far. Same thing there. Yeah. So.
All right, number 5. Who do you got?
I have Rocky Top.
Oh, again, same thing.
they roll, can bounce back after their big loss in Athens, and rolled against Mizzou as expected. So
they did, yeah. Nothing really of note from that game. There was a little quote unquote controversy at the end with Tennessee running up the score, but they had their second string in, y'all. It ain't run up the score when the second stringers are in there.
And I feel like that's, I don't know. I've never been a fan of people being upset about stuff like that. Even if it's your first team, you didn't stop them. It is what it is. It's not 8-year-olds. It's not peewee football. I have no problem running up the score sometimes.
No. Yeah. Who is your number 4 then?
4. I have the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Another blowout game, nothing. I mean, we're just kind of waiting for the de facto playoff and Big Ten championship game in two weeks now. So,
So I had their rival Michigan in number 4 spot. We finally differ. I had the Buckeyes at number 3. Like you said, we're just waiting for that game in 2 weeks, unless one of them suffers a really bad upset next week. Who's your number 3?
We flip flopped with that, so I had Michigan at three there. They blew out the Huskers, and kept the, as they Blake Corum in the Heisman race there. So
All right, how about your number two?
two, I have the Horned Frogs.
Same here.
There's just an impressive when no one's really expecting, everybody's waiting for you to lose there, and you go on the road and pull off the victory, and got to give them some love there.
Which means we both have Georgia number one, as you called them last week. They're the bully on the block now. Took care of their business. Should cruise into that SEC title game. All they have is what, Kentucky next
And
week,
Georgia
Georgia
Tech,
Tech the week after.
that's No, was at one point, at the first of the year, everybody was like, "Oh, maybe that Kentucky game will be somewhat interesting." And no, I don't, no, not a chance, especially after yesterday.
No, yeah. So let's see. Last week's the playoff rankings were Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, Tennessee in the top six, or excuse me, Oregon is number six there. So they should fall out. We would imagine LSU would probably jump up into that sixth
All
spot, but I don't expect any more changes to that,
right.
really, that
No,
order. Do you? Maybe TCU might even jump up, maybe.
I think it actually stays the same. I don't think, I just don't think that they're going to give TCU much love there just because they're the small name
Yeah.
guy. I think it's going to stay pretty much the same.
Yeah, kind of feel the same. Any other college things to speak on?
It's just gonna be a fun rivalry Saturday in 2 weeks, and then championships Saturday. I mean, we could have some craziness happen there, and could be a hat, quite the conundrum if things fall as they might. And I'm, as with my team out of it, I'm all for the entertainment.
Yeah, right. Let chaos reign.
Exactly.
All right, we'll move on to the NFL. As always, let's see, no really big news this week to speak of, so we'll just hop right into our power rankings. I'll kick them off. I have the 49ers in the eighth spot still. Nothing really a lot changed in my rankings this week. Again, I have them over teams like the Giants or the Seahawks and all. They just played. They've got, a head-to-head win over the Seahawks. I just think they're kind of the better team now with McCaffrey, Ayuk back, Debo Samuel coming back. I think there might be a team that's about to go on a roll, that offense there. How about your number eight?
Eight. I have the Titans again. I think I had them at eight last week. They didn't win last week, and we can't always say more. Of course, it's sports, and moral victories don't mean a whole lot. But the fact that they prime time went in as a double digit and really gave the Chiefs everything and could have won that game, and I'm pretty sure they won a boring one today against Denver, if I'm not mistaken. So
They did.
they held on there. So I got the Titans at eight. It's not pretty, but they are winning games.
All right. How about your number seven?
Seven, I have the Miami Dolphins. They've since Tua's come back, I mean that their offense is rolling again. Put up a lot of points last week, beat the Bears, won today as well. A 39-point effort. I mean, they're just playing, they're winning games. And the funny thing is the whole the AFC East, everybody's above 500 now. So that's turning into a very interesting division.
Yeah, no one saw that. Everybody thought it was going to be the West would be the big
Right.
division in that conference. Seven, I have my Ravens. Another good win on Monday night. Just dominated the Saints. Didn't even think about blowing that lead. Got the bye week this week. Again, we've mentioned before, but they have the easiest schedule going into this back half of the season. So they handle their business. They could pile up some wins there and take that AFC North division over Cincinnati. Number six is where I had the Dolphins. I just had them ahead on the basis of that head-to-head win they got. And everything you mentioned, they're playing well. When Tua's in that offense, they play a lot better.
Yeah, I do.
Who's your number six?
Number six, I have the Ravens there. They're playing really. They're just winning games there. And let's just they definitely in the front runner in the North there, and they just got to get help, keep getting healthy, stay healthy, and I think they're going to be fine.
All right. How about your number five?
Five. I have the Cowboys at five. I'm there, playing Green Bay today early there. But, I mean, coming off the bye week, hopefully we'll finally beat the Packers. It's been a while. But they're just playing all-around good football. I mean, their defense has stepped up. Ever since Dak went out, they simplified things for the offense and have continued to do that. So everybody, it's just running way smoother. So I like it.
I too had the Cowboys at number five. Yeah, they probable defensive player of the year, at least in the first half. Micah Parsons on the other side of the ball. If it weren't for the Eagles, they'd be kind of in a good prime position to win that division. But they're playing some good ball. Number four, I have the Vikings, who we've talked about, still in an overtime battle with Buffalo right now. Not much to say more than I have been all year. They're humming along kind of quietly. They got, a lot of offensive weapons, and their defense is just good enough. Right. If your Cowboys beat the Packers today, that's just one more.
It makes it even easier.
One step closer to another division title for Minnesota. Who's your number four?
Four, drop Buffalo a little bit there. Tough loss last week there. The Jets seem kind of dead. Losing Breece Hall previous week, it looked terrible against the Patriots, and then they really held their own last week and really made. First time that Buffalo looked pretty human last week, and that defense was very impressive. Sauce Gardner is definitely the man.
Oh yeah, he is. Maybe your defensive rookie of the year right there. I had the Bills in my three spot. I dropped them down. Same reasons after that loss. And also, there's some rumblings this week that Josh Allen might not play. Had an elbow injury to his throwing arm, but he's played today. Played pretty well.
Oh wow.
Justin Jefferson. Vikings down to the two in overtime. Touchdown wins it. Just dropped them down one spot. We'll see if they lose this game. Maybe drop below the Vikings again. But still probably your favorite in the AFC, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. It's going to be a good race. Especially, like I said, if the Ravens handle their business, they could sneak back into that number one seed. Yeah. Discussion. Who's your number three?
Three, I have Minnesota. Flip flopped with the Bills this week just because, they only had the one loss on the season. They're just finding ways to win games. They're not getting the most love there, but I think people coming around a little bit on them there, and they're just doing what they need to do. We know how explosive the offense is, kind of a bend but don't break completely defense. And, it's kind of impressive. They were down big early to the Bills today, and looking kind of out of it, and they responded well. So,
which means we both probably had the same 2-1. Chiefs at two, Eagles at one. Sir. Yep. Not much to say there. Eagles play Monday night against the Commanders at home.
Yeah, I think they'll be hard.
Chiefs beat the Jaguars today by 10. Nothing overly impressive, but they never really in danger of losing that one, I don't think. Oh, Buffalo defense stepping up here. Minnesota got down to the two. It will now be third and goal from about the 18.
It was a big time sack right there by Oliver.
Yeah, not what you want to see if you're in Minnesota.
That ball.
Yeah, right. Chuck that one through the uprights. Ooh, Kurt, got caught looking upfield.
Wow.
Right up the middle. Anything to add about the Chiefs or the Eagles there?
No, they're just, Chiefs look solid enough. Sometimes it's hard to get up for those type of games. They held their own, and I don't think Philly will have any problems. Commanders are playing better, but at home, I don't see any problem tomorrow night for them either. So,
should be another big day for Jalen Hurts in that offense. But that should do it for NFL talk. Nothing really going on. Minnesota did not convert on this third and goal, so they will kick the field goal here to try to go up three.
Yikes, that defense has some work ahead of them. Jeez.
Yep. It's going to be a tough one. Nothing, let's see. Elsewhere in sports, not much. Big NBA news, really. That season's just kind of getting going still. College basketball began this past week. Nothing really worth paying attention to till after Christmas or so. Till after college football season's over. It's kind of crazy
just how everything, you know, we're already to that the coaches thing where, you know, we're Duke and Kentucky and NC. I'm assuming we're Michigan State and Kansas all play each other. It's like, geez, we're already that far in November. It's crazy.
I know, right? Time flies. But, you know, it's just – it's weird. The only thing I hadn't written down for it, you know, see, Alabama won their first two games this week over
Longwood and Liberty. Watched some of that Liberty game in the second half. I like the energy out there by the freshman Miller. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. So I'm excited to see him continue to get better. And yeah, I think, I don't know, this team seems, and I mean, we started off decent last year and fell apart, as we all know, but I like the energy so far from the some of what I've seen there. I like the energy, and you know, I think we might have a fun team to watch this year.
For sure, yeah. And you mentioned Miller; he's definitely going to be freshman of the year candidate. Probably the top scorer on the team by the time it's said and done. What I had written in my notes, Justin, it's just college basketball is just not nearly as fun as it used to be. Particularly, I know when we were in school together, we, you know, a lot of big games, you know, those big Monday games and Tuesday. It didn't matter who the teams were.
You know, it's going to be fun.
A lot of fun watching just, yeah, any games. And just that one and done rule kind of killed it, you know, really. Guys just don't stay longer, don't develop. You know, it really hurts those smaller schools with, you know, I remember watching Marquette upset Kentucky in the Final Four that went into the Elite Eight.
With Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. And that was because, he was one of like four or five seniors on that start lineup that Marquette had.
Talented guy like that, more than one now.
Exactly, yeah. Like, the schools may still get those guys, you know, every now and again. But, yeah, after that first year when it's like, oh, this guy's an NBA player, he's going to go take those millions. And you can't blame him. But
I will –
you wish they would just figure something out.
No, I was going to say, the only thing that may help out college and, you know, those guys on the fence a little bit, I mean, if they have the decent NIL money, I mean, that might be motivation enough for stay an extra year maybe, you know, just to enjoy. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't seen how that really impacts the college basketball game yet. Obviously, well, there's Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. But, yeah, hopefully that's an equalizer or some stuff. I know there's been rumblings for a while now that the NBA would get rid of the one-and-done rule, particularly now that they have the G League.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to get away from that one-and-done. It's either, you know, and I think either A, you jump to the league, or B, you at least have to play 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say. They need a rule similar to college baseball or, you know, football. It's you need to have 3 years out of high school, and that's mostly because just even as good as you are, that's just maybe the only high school player in the past, at least definitely our lifetimes, maybe ever, that could have realistically jumped from high school to the pros was Adrian Peterson. He was just that different, but other than that, you need it. But in, you know, baseball, they have a rule. You can either get drafted out of high school and take that contract, go play in the minors, do all that. Or if you don't, you have to go to school, but you got to stay 3 years. And I think, like you mentioned, maybe two would work better for basketball. Three's a little... But just some rule, like you can either get drafted if you want, go straight from high school to the G League, or, you know, if you're good enough to make an NBA roster, do that. Or if you decide to go to college, you got to stay 2 years.
I just think that would help the game out as far as – well, you know, if you're a basketball fan, you're going to watch. But yeah, just for your average, you know, person that really doesn't, you know, watch till March, you know, just to get a little bit more, I think the regular season and has really lost some of its luster for the average fan, for sure.
For sure. I know I don't watch a lot of games during the regular season that aren't Alabama games. Maybe a huge, you know, one versus, you know, top 10 matchup here and there, but it's just not the same as it was, you know, because I used to, I'd pick college basketball over the pros every day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, now, you'd have that Big East game on Monday and then that six, and then there was that big 12 matchup and then there was the Super Tuesday, had the big 10 game and the SEC game of the week, and good stuff. We still have those matchups, but it doesn't have the same feel sometimes.
Yeah, just not the same luster. You know, now I'd rather watch, you know, just any whatever exactly. NBA game's on than even a big game in college basketball. But and the other problem, and I know I talk about it in my friend group a lot, but just the reffing, college basketball refs, it's hard. Yeah, it's you know, we say that in all sports and it is a problem, but it's really a problem in college basketball. And I don't know if there needs to be some rule changes.
So ticky tack and
really ticky tack, really, you know, sometimes they forget that they're, you know, the best thing you can do as a ref is have people not know your name or not know who you are. That's your job, really. And I think too many of them want to, you know, they want to just keep blowing that whistle. They don't keep it in their mouth, you know, or keep it out their mouth, should say.
Exactly. A big time game, we shouldn't be, our first thought shouldn't be you know, that was a, our first thought of a big time game shouldn't be the official and how they affected the end of the game. There should be, oh man, that's a hell of a three or something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe there's something to do that. I've seen some proposed rule changes. I know in the women's side, they've gone to four quarters now. Okay. That seems to kind of work for them. That's an interesting thing. I think I'd like to see that. Just 4 10-minute quarters. I'd be fine with that. Kind of break it up.
I mean, they give them a thought for the NFL, you know, kind of give them the NBA, that NBA feel into it, which I think the WNBA was doing when they, you know, just that pro feel into it there. Get them a little ready for that. But,
and then, as always, anytime I talk about basketball rules, I will always say they should eliminate, which is, to me, just one of the dumbest rules in sports, but the technical foul for calling a timeout.
Yeah, that is so
it's old. Just, the ref should just look at you like, sorry, you ain't got one.
Football, like, people doing it, just look at you like you're dumb. Yeah, they should.
Yeah, you're like, you're wasting time, you don't have timeout.
I mean, if it's a three-point game, you don't want it to jump to 7 or 8.
Minnesota interception in the end zone.
Pat Peterson. Wow.
Oh, the old man.
Gee.
Minnesota goes into Buffalo, beats the Bills. Back-to-back losses for Buffalo now.
That's a tough one.
Minnesota goes to 8-1
on
the year.
That's huge for the Vikings.
That's big, yeah. And again,
you know, that's a, you know, I think that's a thing that I knock on them. You know, a lot of people – all they thought, you know, they played some cupcakes, and their one big game is they lost to Philly and got kind of dominated there. But to go on the road into Orchard Park and get the win, that's a big win, and maybe they'll kind of a statement win for the Vikings. Maybe they'll start getting a little more respect.
Yeah, hopefully for them, they should. That keeps them, you know, right there behind Philly for that home field advantage race in the NFC too. You know, if the Eagles slip up a game or two, Minnesota's right there to take advantage, get that bye in that home field. But that's it, Greg. You got anything else from the world of sports you want to speak on this?
Yeah, week? The talk about bad rules. The other thing that really annoys the heck out of me, because I don't really see what the point is and how you really gain an advantage if you barely that illegal touch and stuff really annoys me. If you toe tap the line and come back in and catch the ball, just let that fly. I hate that rule.
Going back to the Oregon game yesterday.
And there was a legal touch somewhere else. If it's not egregious and you're, you know, toe tapping the line and just trying to move, I really hate that rule.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, that's one of those. Yeah, like you said, if it's not like, as long as you're not doing it intentionally, like some deceptive, like you're just standing on the sideline and you're like, oh, wait, I'm actually a receiver.
I mean, you're running a route.
Shouldn't be allowed, but, you know, the Oregon guy caught a forearm shiver and he stepped about half of his left foot out of bounds. then got back. He was established. You know, he got 2 feet back in bounds, which I think that should be the rule. You know, as long as you get both your feet back in, you establish yourself, you should be able to catch the ball, right? Ended up, you know, moving. Oregon would have been in position to kick a game-tying field goal there, but had to go for the Hail Mary instead, and Bo Nix threw a bounce pass.
That was fun.
Which he was throwing to a guy who was about 10 yards short of the end zone anyway. And so I didn't know if they, yeah, maybe unless they had some like
throw it up
App State type hook and ladder set up.
Who knows, but yeah, just overall, you know, yeah, I just don't, I don't, if it's not egregious, you didn't gain some super advantage from, I just don't really like that rule. And it's not so much even, you know, because of yesterday, it's just overall. I've seen it every time I see it this season. It's just really annoying because it doesn't. I don't know. I just don't see the point up for that rule. But that's just me.
No, I get you. It's kind of like I said. It's one thing if a guy's like purposely standing on the sideline, act like he's not playing, and then steps in, you
right?
Kind of tricks his corner. But if you're just you catch a little shiver trying to run down the sideline, and you know, 3 inches of your left cleat go out of bounds, you know, it's, as long as you get 2 feet back in, you should be able to catch the ball.
And the defensive guy didn't stop, you know, didn't gain any advantage from that small step out, let the play happen. But
yeah, exactly. He was, you know, he was letting him go anyway because he was just playing that initial bump and they were playing the zone, and the Oregon receiver got in between the zone, found the spot, and but because, you know, half his foot was out of bounds, that negated about a 15-20 yard catch that, like we said, knocked him out of field goal range. But all right, so Greg, then what is done up real good for you this week? Done up for
me real good. You know, I was just proud of my daughter. She went to some math competition this week with her school, and some nerdy stuff, but you know, it's helping her for her future. So I was very, very proud of her there.
Nerdy stuff's always good.
For sure. Yeah. Hey. Doing way more productive stuff than what I did in eighth grade, let's just say that.
For sure.
How about you?
Let's see. Done up real good for me this week. I guess I'll go with my kid too. Mentioned he was came here, you know, 2 Wednesdays ago now. This week he's out of the NICU, down into the step down unit. Breathing on his own, bottle feeding, all that good stuff. So making progress. Hopefully he'll get to come home at some point soon. And then we can, you know, just be tired all the time at home instead of tired all the time going back and forth to the hospital.
That'll at least change it a lot. Be comfortable and not ripping and running. That'll definitely help out.
Yeah, we're lucky because we're literally right down the road from the hospital, but it's still a lot to... I'd much rather, you know, make sure he's okay than, okay, good, I'm going to fall asleep till I hear you cry again.
Exactly, for sure.
But that's it. All right, folks, that should be everything for us this week. Thank you once again for listening. As always, be sure to check out everything on the Alabama Take Podcast Network. Go check out thealabamatake.com for some great writings. And as always, keep it done up real good out there. Greg, we'll see you next week.